figure out where we fit in. You know, many times we can trace back or figure out, you know, the day we're born. At least we should, right? If you got a birth certificate, you know, maybe you know, you could figure that out. It's pretty easy, but it's not as easy many times to figure out why we were born. And we've kind of talked about that from time to time. And I think there's a lot of frustration that kind of comes into people's lives because many times we feel like we have a lack of purpose. You know, just pouring ourselves, I've watched this, if we just pour ourselves into our kids or our careers, you know, sometimes that gives people a purpose, but it doesn't really last. Hypothetically, the kids move out. Hypothetically, right? And then also, there comes a time in your life when you retire and you walk away from that career. And that leaves us many times with nothing to hold on to. There's another way you can do it. You can aimlessly just plod along, heading to an unknown destination. But to me, that doesn't seem to work either, what I've found. You know, we need to finally understand that, you know, we are part of Christ's body, and each person has a part to play or a function in that body. And when we each do our part, then we're going to find out that the body is strong, we're going to feel connected, and that life is going to be good. Amen? The scripture we're going to look at for a little bit here is found in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. I read from the New American Standard. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have a sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, right now for your hand to be up on each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We know that you have a plan for each of our lives. And Lord, it's up to us to be able to tap in, to be able to find out what that plan is. Lord, we know that you have give gifts to men. And Lord, right now we just want to find out what those are and how those operate in our life. I yield to the gift that's inside of me and I want to use it for your glory. I pray that for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, this is talking about how we have gifts. Now, there's three different locations primarily in the Bible that talk about gifts. And we're going to look at it, just briefly skim over them. This here, you know, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? If you don't, you should. Amen? Okay. Now, these are the gifts of the Father. These are the creation gifts, or the motivational gifts, shall we say, that was given to us at the new birth. And they're found here in Romans chapter 12, verses primarily 6 to 8. Well, then, also there's another place that talks about gifts, and they're the gifts of the Son. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which is talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then the third place that we see gifts is the gifts of the Spirit. And they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. And all those nine gifts there in 1 Corinthians, you know, some call the charismatic gifts or whatever the case may be. But those are the three locations primarily where it talks about gifts. And they're given by either God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, as we start to see these things and start to, a picture should start to materialize. Now, primarily, we're just going to look today at the gifts of the Father, the creation gifts. Because that's going to help us to first find out our natural tendency, shall we say, of what God has put inside of us, and that will help us to figure out where we should kind of flow towards in the body of Christ so that we can find that purpose that He has put inside of us so that we can be more efficient and proficient in the things of God and the importance of that. Now, where do I fit in? A lot of people struggle with that. Many remember, some of you might be too young, but remember O.J. Simpson when they tried to put the glove on? I remember that on TV. Didn't fit. You got to acquit, right? Is what they said. You know, but something a little more personal is when you put on your own clothes. You know, sometimes the clothes are too big, sometimes they're too small. You know, I can handle too big, but I sure hate them when they're too small. When I put them on and they don't fit, I get frustrated because I just don't like that feeling. You know, I got such big arms anyway, you know, from work. No. But some of those shirts, you know, when you get them, they make them smaller these days. I don't know how that works. But anyway, so it's good to figure out where you fit because it takes away frustration. Now, where it is we're going to look at this today, we're not going to jump into the total gifts, but we're going to look first at really somewhat some of the attitude that you and I need to get settled first when we start to pursue and find out where it is that we fit in the body of Christ. So we're going to look first at the topic of grace. Now, we did a series on this at the end of last year. You can look it up on the internet at the website. You can kind of go over this again a little bit. We're just going to brush on it a little bit. Now, grace, to me, is for empowerment. And we're going to, and we have witnessed that in this passage that I have just read. Because all the gifts that God has given us are empowered by grace. So you have all the power you need to be able to fulfill everything that God has called you to do. That's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, a lot of times we think about that and we think we can do it until we step out of the boat like Peter did, then we start to sink. And we kind of wonder. But I can guarantee you beyond a shadow of doubt, God has given you enough grace to accomplish everything that He's called you to do. You need to settle that in your mind. And we're going to look at a couple little thoughts here to help us get past ourselves. Amen. Have you ever need to get past yourself? Get over yourself, right? That's what we need to do. We need to get over ourselves and get into God. And when we do that, we're going to start to function better. Now, the Apostle Paul, which was one of the great leaders of the New Testament, you know, he started out kind of rough, holding the coats when they killed Stephen and stuff like that and persecuted the church. But then he got it right. You know, he got saved and, you know, got filled with the Holy Ghost and started moving towards God. And here he said, I was speaking by the grace. So God gave him the grace that he needs to speak. So maybe God's calling you to be a teacher or work with different things. Well, you have to have confidence that God's going to give you the grace to talk. And He'll do that. Oh, you need to study to show yourself approved a little bit. A lot. But you're going to have everything you need to accomplish it. Now, one thing that we need to understand also in the gifts is that, you know, our gifts are different. It talks about that in verse 6. Not everybody's the same. We don't have the same gift. You know, and our gifts differ according to the grace of God. I want you to turn to somebody and say, you're really different. Amen? Well, that's grace. That's grace. You know, God made them different from you. And that's okay. We need to be different. If we're all the same, it'd be really boring, wouldn't it? It'd be really boring. And we couldn't get everything done that needs to be done. Now, one of the reasons that we don't do something is because we feel we can't. We just don't feel adequate. We feel inadequate. We just feel that it's over our head or it's something that, you know, we're not going to be able to ever do. I've never done it before. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, I never dreamed I would ever be a pastor of a church. I never dreamed I would ever do some of the things I've done for God. Wasn't really in my radar in any way, shape, or form. But once I started getting into God and starting to get past myself, and started to follow and start to do some things that God said I could do, then I could find out that, you know, there's some things I can do that I didn't think I could do. And that all comes by trying it. Now, we don't choose the gift. The gift chooses us, kind of. You know, that's a play on words a little bit. Really, they're given by God. But we don't choose the gift. Now, of them gifts that we looked at there, the seven gifts, you know, you may want to think, you know, a funny thing when we was in Bible school, when, you know, this sort of was revealed to us, and my wife kind of tells this story, and, you know, I think Sister Marilyn was doing the teaching on it and talked about, you know, the gift of mercy. Her husband, Pastor Wally, he's passed away now. You know, he had the gift of mercy. And when they were explaining all that, I went up to my wife and her roommate and I says, you know, I think I have the gift of mercy. And they just fell over. I'm the opposite. I'm prophecy. That's my motivational gift. So when you read these gifts, you may see yourself in some of these gifts, but you need to ask your spouse and they'll set you straight. Amen. They'll tell you what you really like, or a friend. You know, but we kind of figure out a little bit what we're like and what it is that we have going on for us. So, you know, God give us these gifts. Now, we can flow in different areas. We can, you know, one of the gifts here was serving. You know, one of the times I remember we was at a men's breakfast out in Denver, and I was sitting over there and I was sitting by the pastors. We were sitting at the same table, and, you know, we'd already had our food and we was eating, and it was about over. The speaker was about done speaking, you know, some guy come in late. You know, and nobody got up. And he went over and he found his own food and come over and sat down. I looked to the pastors. I says, evidently none of us have the gift of serving. You know, and, you know, just kidding around. I mean, but yeah, we should have got up. You know, and probably even, you know, even though I may have a prophecy motive gift, or one of those guys may have the gift of exhortation, we probably should have got up and served. We can do flow in a lot of these gifts. But we're going to have one trait that is more dominant than others. And that's, then when you find that out, you're going to be able to flow with that. Now, one thing that I've noticed is if you get something, then you got something. Pardon my English. I know some of you don't like my English sometimes, but if you get something, you got something. So you got to know you got it. It's inside of you. You know, when you were born again, God placed inside of you these gifts and this gift that it is that you can flow with. And as we understand that, now first you say, well, I don't have a gift. Well, the Bible says different. It says also in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one has received a special gift. So your gift is special. Now you need to look at it like that. You're special. Right? You know, you need to look in the mirror every day and say, I'm special. Because I have a special gift inside of me. And that's because God has placed that gift inside of me. And I've been created by God, and I'm a part of Christ's body. And if I don't do my part, you know, then I know the body will be weaker. So I need to do my role and do it. Now, so never tell anybody, let alone yourself, that you're not gifted, because you are. You have a gift. And as we understand that, you're going to do it. Now, grace, if we understand grace, on how grace functions and flows in our life, remember, grace is when you get something you did not deserve, right? Mercy is, or grace is when you get something that you did not deserve, and mercy is when you don't get something that you did deserve. You know, we deserve judgment, but God's mercy, we didn't receive that. So grace, as God gives that to us, and we start to flow with that, then we start to get the revelation, and you're going to get this revelation. It's not me, it's He. And once you start to see that, as you start to operate and flow, as you start to do different things, and as you start to explore maybe different ministries, you know, in the church and in outside the church, doing things for God, you're going to start to find out the greater one that lives inside of you, and you're going to start to experience Him, and then you're going to start to see how things kind of flow and how they function, and how you start to step into your role of what He's called you to do. And as you do that, you're going to find that fulfillment, you know, that maybe you've been striving for. You know, we need to learn by grace is how we need to flow with the strengths that God has put inside of you. And that's what grace is. Your gift that He's put inside of you is a strength. It is one of your strengths. And as you start to flow with that and understand what grace is all about, then you're going to start to experience that, and it's going to build up your self-image in Christ. Now, as we all know, it's better if we feel like we fit in. You know, we've all been to those functions where you walk into a place and nobody looks at you. Nobody shakes your hand. Nobody cares. You just don't feel like you fit in. But see, God wants us to know that we need to fit in to the body of Christ. And that he has that plan. And by grace, I want you to think about this, grace makes the ordinary extraordinary. Right? You're extraordinary because of what God has done in you and what he wants to do through you. See, a lot of times we just look to our natural talents. We're going to look at that in a minute. But I want you to see beyond your talents and start to see your giftings is kind of what we're going to look at this. And the goal is more important than the role. And we're going to go into that as we go into that because, you know, that's talking about bodybuilding, the body of Christ and how important that is. Now, as we do that, I want us to kind of look at a different thing about how grace flows. Grace is like the gasoline in your tank. You know, if you run out of gas, what happens? Bad things, right? You just don't move. And we have to understand that it's God's grace, that empowerment that gives us the fuel so that we can function. Now, the next thing we're going to look at after grace, I want us to look at the attitude that we have to do, and that's humility. Now, humility is one of those things that a lot of times we, maybe it doesn't make us feel the best, but as we do that, it's gonna be able to free us up a little bit. So humility is that attitude that we need to have. You know, don't be prideful in your thinking that we're better than somebody else. Now, maybe you don't struggle with this, but I think we do from time to time. You know, as you start to look at these gifts, and I'm gonna maybe use an example here in a moment, that some of the gifts may put us in front of people. And when your gifting puts you in front of people, it's easy for you to assume all the credit for what the people that did behind the scenes made possible. Right? That's easy to do. You know, maybe you have the gift of organization, so you're organizing some project here at the church. You may be doing a big garage sale, shall we say, or something. Well, you're the one organizing, you're delegating out different, you know, roles to do for people, and they're servers. Well, the servers are in there just working like crazy. They're happier than I'll get out because they're right in their wheelhouse and serving. They're getting everything all set up and doing it. You're over there just kind of standing, shaking hands and stuff, and they're doing all the work and getting everything done. And let's say you make $1,500, you know, and then you stand up there in front of everybody and you take all the credit. That's not humility, is it? That's missing the point. All these other people. See, we can't do it alone. That's the way I understand. I want you to see that you are important to this church. You are important to the kingdom of God. And if you understand how important you are, it's going to revolutionize the way that we do things and how we treat ourselves and how we really start to treat others. You know, I remember a story I just read about a guy named Jim. Jim had been in college, and he was kind of a hippie. Didn't wear shoes. Hair was this all different colors and wild. Had tattoos all over himself. And during college, Jim got saved, praise God. So Jim one day decided to go to the church right across the street, which happened to be somewhat of a conservative, shall we say, for the least of things, approach to Christianity, you know. And so he walks in. Everybody has suits on, three-piece suits. Women are just decked out. And here comes Jim, strolling in the door. Everybody's just looking at him. Nobody would scooch over. You know what I'm saying? The church was kind of filled that day. And Jim comes walking in, and nobody made room for poor old Jim. So Jim just kept walking. Everybody just kept looking at Jim. Little by little, kept looking for a place to sit on his way to the front of the church. Well, when he got to the front of the church, instead of turning around and going back, he sat right down in front on the floor. Just plopped right down, right in front of the, you know, not too far from the pulpit. Everybody had been staring at Jim, just how, you know, how wild Jim looked and how it was kind of disrespectful that he come in dressed like that, let alone going up to the front of the church like that and sitting down. All of a sudden, this 80-year-old man got up with his cane, and he was one of the head deacons in the church. You know, three-piece suit, silver hair, just decked out. starts walking up to the church. And it took him a little bit of time to get there. Everybody was just thinking what he's going to say to Jim. He's going to straighten Jim out for coming in like that. He got up to Jim, and slowly he lowered himself down and sat right beside him. The pastor, after it took him a while to get control of himself from weeping, he said, "You may not remember anything I'm going to say today, but you will remember what you have seen today. A practice of humility." And see, that's the attitude that you and I need to have when we come in and we start to work with our brothers and sisters in Christ to make the body better. It's not about what we do in the sense of the credit that we get, or, you know, all the acclamations and things like this, but it's really about the things that we do with the attitude that Jesus Christ has given us. Now, I mentioned a moment ago about a difference between a gift and a talent. Now, we can easily get jealous when we compare our talents. You know, like when somebody like Amanda sings or whatever, you could easily say, well, I kind of like that. I personally don't want her high voice, but I would like to have, you know, that sort of a gift, that talent, shall we say. And see, talents are given to us when we're born. Some people are more talented in different areas than others. Some can throw a ball farther. Some can dive sideways and catch a ball. Some can play a piano. You know, all these different things. And they're not even Christian yet, and they can do these things. That's a talent. And that's totally different than a gift. Now, your talents can somewhat, you know, be developed in different things. But I want us to see that what happens is talents are given at birth, but gifts are given at new birth. And what it talks about when we need to see the sound judgment it talked about there in Romans is the idea that we need to see the big picture. You know, no matter how good we think we are, how important we feel, we can't do it alone. We need each other. And you know, that's easy. We say that as a cliche, but I tell you, walking this out is very difficult. You know, church would be easy if it wasn't for other people, wouldn't it? Some of you know what I'm saying about it. I mean, Elisa's got that revelation, right? Amen. We've all got that revelation. Church and serving Jesus, because what happens is, and what we're wanting to do at the church is try to build teams instead of just one person doing it. You know, my goal as a pastor, my heart's been for years, is to try to develop teams, and these teams kind of work together. That way, if one can't make it someday, everything ain't, you know, just falling apart. You know, so working with teams, it sounds, yeah, we're a team. Until somebody on the team has a different idea. Oh, bummer. Not everybody sees it like I sees it, right? That comes humility and trying to work together, you know, for the common good of the body of Christ. You know, remember, it's the goal is more important than the rule. Now, one of the drawbacks that you and I have done, and especially, you know, in our flow or our flavor of Christianity, shall we say, is we stress personal relationship, don't we? You know, you don't get saved as a whole area. You get saved individually. You know, you must be born again. You know, and that we're going to stand before God someday. And we're not going to stand with everybody else. We're going to stand alone at the Bema seat if we're saved. And if we're not saved, you know, it's a great white throne. And we don't want to go into all that today and scare you all. But, you know, we stress that. But what we need to equally stress is the idea of corporate experience. And that's what we experience here today. Now, some people miss out on that. Some people don't think it's important. You know, it's important to do so. The corporate experience that you and I share together as we come to Christ as a group. And then we start to explore these different ideas and the way God leads us and the way God wants us to do things. And we're never going to really experience the depth of Jesus Christ unless we decide to do Jesus with other people and work with other people and do things like that. But see, we got this individual mindset where we just think, you know, the Lone Ranger. You know, I can't remember how that goes. You know, I was going to play that so I get it fresh in my mind. Anybody know that? They can sing that for me right now. But, you know, we get that. And the Lone Ranger rides in and, you know, saves the day. You know, we think that's how we are. But really, Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? You know, Tonto didn't really get a fair shake in the whole deal, I don't think. You know, but, you know, maybe his name was real small at the bottom. You know, but we need others. We need to work together to be able to walk this out. Now, as we do that, the bigger, one of the things that we have to do, you know, the bigger that we want to go in God or the bigger things that we want to do for God, you know, that's when we need to have pure motives. This humility kind of brings that out. And anytime you work with other people, some of our motives come out that we kind of suppress. You know what I mean? We suppress them, don't we? You know, we don't actually let all our motives out so everybody can see them. We don't wear a sticker on our head, prideful, jealous. You know, it'd be nice if we did. You know, that way you can fix it real quick. You definitely want to deal with it. You don't want nobody to see that. You know, so we hide them. But, you know, but as you work with other people, you know, so there's a balance that we have, that when we practice humility, we don't need to feel less of ourselves about ourselves. We just need to think about ourselves less. Okay? So it's not really just about us. And once we get beyond that, then we're going to be fine. Now, on the other side of that coin is the fact that it's important for us to feel important to a degree. And that's healthy. You know, just don't feel more important than the person sitting next to you. So you need to have a healthy self-image where you feel that you're important in the things that you've been called to do and what God has for your life. But just don't let it go to an extreme. So you have to find that balance. So we've looked at the idea of grace as well as humility. Now we're going to look at the last thing this passage in verse 3 has really talked about. And that's the idea of faith. How important faith is. Now, faith is boldness. You know, the Bible says here, you might feel like you don't have a lot of faith. And that's a lie. Because the Bible says that God has allotted to each a measure of faith. What's a measure? Measure is, it could be anything. It could be a cup. It could be a bushel. Could be anything. Now, I personally believe you can develop your faith. Faith needs to be developed, you know, and that comes by, you know, in the Word of God as well as walking it out in the world and doing different things. Now, we have all the faith we need, and that's what I believe this allotted measure of faith is, to operate in the gift you've been called to do and that gifting that's inside of you. You have enough faith to operate that gift. So you should never doubt that you can do it because that's what it takes. Now, what happens is we have a choice to make. Do we want proof instead of operating by faith? A lot of people want to wait till they see it. You know, I feel that God has called me to be an usher, to serve. But I'm going to wait until the pastor calls me on the third Tuesday at 4 p.m. You know, we want proof, right? We want, you know, we just go through all this room instead of say, hey, I feel God's want me to usher. Can I help? Sure you can help. I'm glad you want to help. Or maybe God's called you to maybe work with kids or teach or something. A lot of opportunity. So that's what the faith part is. You have to step out. You know, you've heard my testimony. I stepped out when I first thought God was calling me to do something. And, you know, I didn't, you know, they needed Sunday school workers. And you know the story. I hopped in and started helping three-year-olds for a while. I was in Bible school, just jumped right in there. You know, they almost knew as much as I did, but not quite. I'd been saved about a year, you know. Some of it was a little dicey, you know, but I did have enough. I did know more than a three-year-old. So I started there. That's my comfort level. And then I, you know, progressed from there. But so it took faith for me to step out and to do that. So we need to try to endeavor to follow God that way. Now, the gift will put us there, but it takes faith for us to stay there. You know, so that's why we gotta really develop our faith and keep staying with that. Now, sometimes faith in God. Now, this is gonna hopefully, this is practical. Sometimes faith in God is only what you're going to receive and only attaboy you're going to get when you do things for God sometimes. You know, not everything you do, you'll get thanked for.
I try to thank people, but I know I don't do it near enough as a pastor. You know, but primarily, that's where faith comes in. Who we're doing it for. Are we doing it for Jesus, or are we doing it for ourselves so that we can get noticed, so we can get, you know, our name on something? So that kind of factors into a little bit about, you know, how this works. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says it takes faith to please God. So we want to be pleasing to God. Yes, I want you to make the pastor happy. I'm not going to lie to you. Glory to God. You know, I don't want to be sad. You know, I want to be happy. So, amen. You know, don't be somebody that's hard to get along with. Everybody knows churches have them. You know, people that just can't get along with nobody. And, you know, bless God, God brings them here and I'm supposed to try to help them. You know, glory to God. Boo-hoo, poor Pastor Brad, right? But anyway, you know, the idea of how it takes faith, because what we need to look at is works that we do will justify flesh, but faith glorifies God. And that's what we need to remember. As we're doing these gifts, as we start to figure out where we fit in and what it is God's called us to do, you know, the purpose of this message is I want us to think body. Think body. Think outside yourself. Don't just think about the finger. Don't just think about the toe, right? Think about the whole body and how important everything is, all the parts working together, and that your vital part, as you do that, you're going to find out the level of importance that you are to God's kingdom, and it's going to help you to step out so that you can fulfill your destiny. And that is my role as a pastor, is to try to help you to get into a position where you can find fulfillment and fulfill your destiny as God has called you to do it, and then the body of Christ will be stronger. Let's pray.